Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this satsang, this Aspire radio program, as we like to call it, is being recorded for Sunday, December the 18th, 2016. And I'm very grateful you chose to be with us. Out of all the people you could listen to, I am honored. I am deeply honored. I want to remind you that these radio programs that you're about to listen to, as well as all of my work, including my television programs, are all supported by you, the listening audience. It is through your tax-deductible gifts that we are able to continue. I hope that you will find the program worthwhile, helpful, and maybe become a sponsor, or at least make a year-end contribution that helps us sustain our radio program. Without your help, without your support, we could not be on the air. It's just the way things are. And your gifts are tax-deductible, and they go to air time to support this radio program, our TV programs, airtime for all of that, and to serve humankind in such a manner. So I hope that you will help. You can do it by going to the website at aspire.org, A-S-P-I-R-E.org, O-R-G. And if you go there, you will see support. Just click on it and fly with me, eh? I'll never forget the 1989 version of Batman when the Joker is there and he's saying, "Who do you trust? Who do you trust?" I always thought that was an interesting line. And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today. Who do you trust? It seems that trust is a huge issue in people's lives and who they trust, yada, yada, yada. So we're going to talk about trust today because I get emails about this usually once or twice a month, believe it or not. People are really having issues because they're not individuals. So we'll get into it. Let's go to the first question by Gerald. He does not tell me where he lives. "What can I do?" Gerald asks. "I do not know who to trust, who can be trustworthy and who can not be trustworthy, who can be depended upon for the sake of right." Gerald. Gerald. You fall into a desperate category of human beings that simply do not understand nor care to understand exactly what this lifetime and what we are doing here is all about. Trust? What would you trust a person with? Do you trust people to tell you the truth? Do you trust people to tell you what is happening? What is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad? With the press the way it is now, and it's so very controlled by government, do you really, really think inside your head that there is anyone you can truly believe and trust in? Why do you need such trust? To make informed decisions about your life, to make some kind of formulation about where we are in this world and what we're doing in this world, yada da yada da. What are you looking for? What are you looking to trust? What is the measure of your trust? All of these things are very interesting because I think people in general who are looking for someone or something to trust are not trustworthy themselves. And what I mean by that is simply this. You have to learn to trust your heart. No, not your human heart, but your authentic heart, your spiritual heart, the one you don't think you have, the one you don't believe exists. That's what you trust. And if you can trust that, then you can learn what it means to be trustworthy yourself. People are people. You know, you're going to find them in all ways. That some are, you know, into it for themselves, some aren't. Some are looking for causes and some are not. Some believe they're individuals. Others can't be individuals. You get information from people, it's always going to be a little stilted. Even from me, you're going to get a stilted thing because I'm coming from where I'm coming from in a way that is not culturally, shall we say, correct or acceptable. I mean, you can listen to everything that I teach you and say, well, is he telling the truth? And that would be a very good question. You should ask that. You really should. But if you get down to the nitty-gritty, if you get down to your heart, and this is the problem with people, they don't want to get down to their hearts. They don't want to understand the nature of their being. It is not important to them. It doesn't seem pertinent to their life. It's too much work. They're too busy on their devices and talking to people and socializing and watching terrible movies, eating bad food, yada, 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 yada. We're so busy with our life and killing it, we don't have time to allow it to live through us. Trust. I trust the heart. I trust the heart, and I have found something very unique in all of this, Gerald, and you're going to think me crazy, but it is true. When I trust in my heart of hearts, people will come into my life and they will say things that reveal the depth of the heart that I did not know existed. It will just come out of their mouth. And I'll go, there it is. There's what I've been looking for. Or, oh, that spurs me on to this or that inside my own life. And I start to realize my sense of coping with life and how to go beyond my coping mechanism, all of that. I start to understand the nature of my living and the nature of my life as a matter of my heart. And when I understand the heart of me, I understand the soul of me. And when I am aware of any one of those two things, I don't need other people's words. I don't need other people's opinions. I don't need any of it. You see right through things. Now, what is really important is developing this heart. It's often called intuition. And when intuition is developed, when intuition is self-realized, you start to get a flood, not of information, but energies, intuits, as I like to call it, where we begin to feel things we didn't know existed around us as well as within us. You start to go from being impulsive and compulsive to that of being insightful and at peace. The quieter you are, Gerald, the more you will see, the more you will hear. And when you and I are deeply quiet and we are not trying to figure everything out with the idea of our mind telling us what's right and wrong, what's good and bad, what is true and untrue, we start to find inside of ourselves that which exists as intuition, that which exists as the heart of our life, the very heart of our living. This is deeply important. I can't express to you how important this is, but it is extremely important. And most people miss it because they're so busy being literal-minded. We don't take the time and the effort to really know who and what we are. We don't know our own elements, Gerald. And because most of us are not much concerned about our makeup, how we are conceived in the heart, and how we live and have a life that is derived out of the heart. When you and I can recognize these things and can allow them to accelerate within us, we start to feel a dimension, a new one opening up within us. This dimension is about love. It is about kindness. It is about compassion. You start to see things in the light of what they are, and you can allow your life to function from that premise. And that's a very interesting thing. to allow your life to function from that premise. Because now, instead of trying to get what you want or trying to believe in what you can believe in, you start to recognize the unbelievable. The life becomes a sense of understanding the immensity of it, not the little small things that take us off on a side path. People love side paths. We just get side path so easily. We get annoyed here, we get confronted there, or we see this happening and that, and we start interpreting it the way our minds can interpret something, which is typically out of negativity. You can have this life, the most beautiful life, if you are willing to let love live you. That's what it's really all about, letting love live you and me. Gerald, you asked me, what can I do? I do not know who to trust, who can be depended upon for right. Gerald, there is no right. There is only what is currently happening, what is. We don't know enough of the bigger picture to know what's right. What's right? Seek that which lives within you. Seek it with all of your heart and soul. You feel it in the midst of you somewhere. It is there. Seek what your mind cannot accept, what your emotions are afraid of. It is called love. Actually, it is life as love. And as I always say to people, let love live you. If you can do this, you have achieved a great deal in the course of this lifetime. I hope that helped you. Please forgive me. Namaste. Yeah, we're always looking for what makes sense to our idea of morality, of right and wrong, of good and bad. We're always looking for that. No matter where we go, no matter what we do, it's all about that. All right, here's one from Kay in Los Angeles, and she often writes us, and I love Kay's questions. They're always very interesting. Kay says, everyone lies. How can I trust anyone these days? Even my own doctor has lied to me. How do we understand this, and how are we to trust when everyone lies so much? Kay. Oh, doctors. I work with them at hospice from time to time, and at the hospital when I'm there, and I think people would be shocked, absolutely shocked, to understand a few things about doctors. One, they are human beings. Okay? They make mistakes. Two, so much information comes out, you know, about materia medica and how to deal with certain diseases and such that they don't get to keep up on everything because, three, they have so many patients, they don't have much time to do any research, much less have time, just quiet time for themselves to regather and reformulate their energies. I find most doctors terribly fatigued. They work hard. They do, no matter what you may think. And the human sticks out the side and doesn't always accommodate their bedside manner in a way that is helpful. There's so many things, Kay. Being a doctor is not an easy thing, and I watch it, and I know many a doctor. And yes, they're aloof, and yes, they're cold, and yes, they are filled with information. They can't get involved because to get involved might mean that they'd have to give up their intellect, their coldness, and start feeling the depth of something greater than their emotionality. And what are they into this whole thing for? Well, you know, at a certain point in their youth, it's about being, idealistic of helping the world. But as time goes on and they get tired and they get beat up and they don't have enough time and their patients are are difficult people to deal with because they're in difficult situations, blah, 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 blah. They just go into it for the money. They just want to retire. And that's about it. And I understand all that. I really do. And you should too. Everyone lies. It's true. Sometimes people lie consciously to avoid hurting other people, avoid the painful truth of saying something to someone that they know might be true or factual, I should say, and yet will hurt them. I think that's the biggest cause of lying. We've all done it. I've done it. Everybody's done it. You don't want to say something to hurt another person, so you craft it and sculpture it in a way that you think is palatable to their ego. I mean, what are you going to say to someone? You're not telling the truth? Well, are you insinuating I'm a liar? Yeah, I am. Maybe about this, yada, da, yada, da. I mean, we could go down the road on this. And I'm sure, Kay, you've lied too. We tell all sorts of different lies. We love to lie to ourselves. And we don't want to see what we've done to ourselves, and we don't want to see what's going on within us. We refuse to have any sense of self-examination, and we lie. That's what we do. So we don't hurt other people, so we can face ourselves and live maybe with ourselves for a while. What happens when the truth of any given subject exceeds your mental and emotional ability to accept it? That's the basis of all lies. When something is bigger than what Greg can accept, it doesn't match his ego, or it doesn't match his ability intellectually or emotionally to understand it or accept it. No one wants to think of themselves as well, the way they really live. No one. I mean, if we saw the way we truly lived and interacted with each other, we would be shocked, especially if you could get past the ego and all of that and see the core of how we act and where we act from. It would be shocking. So you ask me, what do we do about all of this? Even my doctor lies. How can we trust anyone? You must, again, trust your heart. It isn't about trusting other people. Kay, don't put your life in the hands of someone else. Trust in your heart. Trust in those that teach you how to be an individual, not a part of the collective whole of this world. See the bigger picture for what it is. See the beauty of what is. See the essence of what is. There is a bigger picture to everything. Trust in your heart. Follow your heart, no matter what your head may say. Now, the problem with this is that many people, because they're not adept at meditation or have any kind of keen insight that they've ever followed, will think that their emotionality is their heart. And that's the one telling them, you know, danger, danger, danger all the time. And that's not the way it is. When I am listening to my heart, I am seeing the broader scope of everything. I'm not listening to the words or the situation. I'm not looking at it and confounding it with Greg's stuff, Greg's fears, Greg's neurosis, and Greg's psychosis. I'm not doing any of that. And neither are you. It's when we have learned to get so quiet on the inside, so non-emotional about our efforts to live in this world, that we begin to self-realize that there is a beauty here. Actually, there is a system that is engaged in this world that is far greater than the one that my mind perceives as right and wrong, as good and bad. Now, once I really understand that, really get that, I understand that system, how it functions, the way it functions, and why it functions the way it does, which is beyond words, you start to realize there's a basic intelligence in this lifetime, in this world, not in the physical world, but behind it. It is the mechanism that makes everything run the way it does. Once we understand that, once we can realize that, that is when everything falls into place and the doors unlock. And you begin to trust not in people, Kay, but to trust in the heart of yourself. Because your heart is one with everything that is here. Now, if you can do this, which you can change everything about your living, which you can. And it will change the way you operate, the way you function, the way you breathe, how you breathe, how you watch your breath. It will change everything. And it will make it so possible for you to have great intuition and never be fooled again by your own eyes and ears that only belong to the collective unconscious in this world. Something for you to think about. Okay, thank you for your emails. They're very, very fun. Please forgive me. Namaste. Kay's a good thinker, believe it or not. I mean, she really is. And I think what she is saying here is quite profound, really. All right, the last question comes from Gail, and I don't know where Gail lives. But she asks a very interesting question. She wrote a very interesting email about the program. And one of my TV programs that I did, The Sound of One Hand Clapping, you can see it on the website at aspire.org. And she asks, are truth and trust the same, Greg? Gail. They're interactive, Gail. If you trust, you will know the truth. If you know the truth, you will be able to trust. This knowing does not come from intellectual prowess. This knowing comes from silence, a profound sense of silence that goes beyond the intellectual endeavors that most of us get involved in. This listening to the truth, this listening to the wordless, this sense of living in this energy, that's all I can say it is, that is beyond the skepticism or the pessimism of my mind, fulfills the deepest part of my living and makes it possible for me to recognize once again that which is going on in this world that my mind cannot understand, my intellect cannot deal with. I'm a fossil. I think like a fossil. I'm just an old fossil. And my thinking belongs to the 50s and the 60s. And when I was born and all that other stuff. But when I am willing to drop all of that and lift my vision to the new experience that I'm about to enter into through meditation, I find that trust and truth are the same. They are one. Very few people allow themselves to trust that which is the truth, because the truth is often not what the ego wants, not what Greg wants. Greg wants everybody to live healthy and happy and long and in love and forgiving, but that's not the way things are. So Greg then starts developing neurosis and all sorts of things to try to make that true in his own mind, and that isn't true either. So when I am willing to drop old Gregory for the sake of the truth that I can trust, that is when meditation takes on a new form. Meditation is only as effective as the setup of which I am living in within the system of my own mind. And if I make my mind that which only trusts in what is right and wrong, good and bad, I will miss the whole thing. And that will become a great tragedy in my life. Meditation is being awakened and awakening, and sometimes it's abrupt and sometimes it's gradual. And sometimes I gotta go. And this is one of those moments. Thank you so much, Gail, for your question. If you have a comment, a question, you know what to do. Come to the website at aspire.org. Go take a look at media. You will see Satsang with Suraj. That be me. Just click on that. And there is a place for you to send me an email. And I hope that you do. Have a beautiful day. Thank you for listening. And please forgive me, eh? Namaste.